Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 16. That's just the place we're going to look. We're going to go a lot of places. Some places I'll have the verses up on the sheets, up on the screen for you, so you don't have to turn there. And some of them I just want you to look at and see how it fits together. So Psalm 16 will just be a place that we'll just kind of look at when we get going. We're studying calling, being a saint, our union in Christ. This study deals with the subject of sanctification. Now, a lot of people, you know, they hear people say justification, sanctification, and glorification, and that's true. The moment you trust in Christ, you're justified, and your sanctification really is your Christian life. We're going to see that it's even much more than that, but we're going to see how that ties together, and this study deals with that. So we're set apart in Christ. In fact, the word saint and sanctification means to be set apart, and so that's what I want you to think about. All who have trusted Christ are set apart. We may not even realize it. But here's something that you may not know. You have been set apart. You are being set apart. You will be set apart. There's some great things, and we'll see how that ties together. All of this is based on our union in Christ. And this study, I think we're going to see some great truths, not only that we want to be able to understand them, but the goal is that we can grow to be more and more like Christ. That's the plan, y'all, is that this would excite us so much that as we study it, that we say, I want to grow. I want to be more and more like Christ. In fact, that's the goal. Our goal is to be like Christ, to be conformed to the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we see, and that's what we want to see happen as we study. And so as we begin, let me raise this question. What do you think of when you hear the word saint? Let me just write that. When you hear the word saint, what do you think of?
Catholic Church.
Huh?
Catholic Church.
Okay, so when you think of when you hear of a saint, because that some people say they pray to saints, or there's Saint Peter and Saint this and Saint that, and their churches are Saint John of something, or any of those kind of things. So you think, what else? Anybody else think anything else when they hear the word saint?
Holy.
Huh? Holy. Yeah, that's a way. Sometimes people say a saint is like somebody that's like really special, you know, a special person, or maybe somebody special in the Old Testament, or maybe somebody special in the church, or maybe somebody who's done something great for God. And we know that the Catholic Church does saint people. I mean, they say this person, we're going to name them a saint or something like that. Well, this evening, we're going to look at the biblical aspect. What does the Bible say? What does it mean? How does it all fit together? And we want to be encouraged as we look at this. Well, We like to put things in categories, right? I mean, we do. So think about this. There's people who are athletic, and there are people who are what? Non-athletic. And there's people who are smart, and there are people who are, and this is how we say it, you know, they're the haves and the have-nots, and there's people in the East and the West, and there's the in crowd, and then there's those that are left out. And then there's the winners and the losers, and there's the liberal and the conservative. There's the young and the old. But, you know, there's another way that every human being could be grouped, and that is either Christian or non-Christian. That's true. In all the whole world, every human being is either going to be a Christian, one who has trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, or a non-Christian. And I mean, I talked to a person just really before class on the phone, and we were talking about that issue. And I said, if you were to die, would you go to heaven? And the person said, yeah. And I said, why? And he said, because I have put my trust in Christ as my Savior. I said, so you've trusted Christ to give you eternal life? And he said, yeah. What would you call that? Is he a, you'd call him a Christian? Yeah, he was, right? Because we'd say he put his faith in Jesus Christ. But if you talk to somebody and you said, if you were to die, you go to heaven, and they go, I don't even think there's a heaven. And you say, well, what do you believe about Jesus? I don't believe anything about Jesus. We might say, that person's probably not a Christian. So sometimes we look at people and we say they're either Christians or non-Christians. Who knows who J. Vernon McGee is? Anybody know who J. Vernon McGee is? A very few of you. If you're young, you won't know him. But J. Vernon McGee was a guy that graduated in Dallas Seminary in the 40s and had a Bible ministry in which he taught through the Bible verse by verse through the entire Bible, and did it in a 5-year time period through the Bible radio with J. Vernon McGee. He used to say that all people are in the two groups, either saints or they ain'ts. You know, you're either a saint or you ain't, and an ain't means you haven't trusted in Christ. And so how does God classify people? Well, a saint is one who's trusted in Christ. Those in Christ have their salvation, they're saints, they're children of God, they have eternal life. But those who are in Adam, say, in fact, you ever thought about the whole human race can be looked on as either in Adam or in Christ, a whole human race. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're in Christ. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're in Adam. And the Bible talks about that. In fact, it says, in Adam all die, but in Christ all are made alive. So realize that when we start talking about saints and all that, you can just sit anywhere you want to, and there's notebooks in every is there two in a, yeah, here's some places right here. Aren't there a couple places right there? Yeah. Come on in. Thanks for coming, y'all. When we talk about it, in Adam all die, and Christ are all made alive, when we think about it, that's what the world is. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm no saint? Yeah, they don't know what they're saying, right? Because anyone who's a believer is a saint. So every one of you in this room that know Christ, what are you? Saints. You're saints. You're saints. Now, I know there's this connotation that saint is a really good Christian or somebody from the Catholic Church that's been, been named as a saint. But the truth is, every one of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we're called saints. We realize that everyone that we're set apart in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. So as a new creation, we're saints, set apart ones. The idea of being a saint is based on what God has done for us, not what we do. He's the one that gives us his righteousness. He's the one that sets us apart. He is the one that makes us, in a sense, as you said a while ago, she said a while ago, holy. When she hears the word saint, she thinks of holy. He's the one that made us holy. And so we're going to talk about that. And let me look at this right here. It has been said that sanctification is the greatest work that God does as he places us in Christ. He conforms us to the image of Christ and brings us into glory with Christ. All of that deals with sanctification. And we want to live out who we are, right? Okay, you're called what? What are you called? Saints. So how should we live? Paul says, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the call in which you've been called. What are you called? You call what? Saints. So basically, as we look at this class and we get started in this thing, the idea here is that the goal of this study is not only to understand about sanctification, what we call positional sanctification, progressive sanctification, ultimate sanctification, how it all fits together, Christian life, but to be men and women who live for the glory of God, who are called saints, who live out who we are. And so there's a lot of good things there. And we know that there are a lot of Christians who are saints that don't live out their sainthood, so to speak. There's a little poem I found it. It says, to dwell above with those we love, that will indeed be glory. But here below with some I know, well, that's a different story or another story. And it is. It is. It's amazing how that we belong to Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. And yet, we are angry with each other. We're mad. We hold grudges. We talked about it Sunday morning about the whole idea of forgiveness and everything. I mean, it's just amazing that we don't really live out sometimes, or many times we don't live out who we really are. So as we look at this study, we're going to see about sanctification. We're going to see it biblically and theologically and then very practically. This is the key, because one of the goals is not only to know the Word of God, but to do what? You know, Prof. Hendricks would say, why do we study the Bible? And people would say, to know it. He'd say, no, we study the Bible so we can know it, so we can apply it. That's the goal. The goal of the study of this class is that we apply it. So let's look at the outline for just a second. If you take the very first of your notebook, you should have a little outline there. And if you notice, this is lesson one. It says introduction, understanding sanctification. And we're going to see that then. And there's a lot of good stuff there. And then next week, we talk about God's salvation plan. And then we begin to look at first positional sanctification, and we'll explain what that is. Then we're going to look at progressive sanctification. What in the world is that? I've got what and why. And then we're going to look at the knowing the enemy. And then we got three lessons on God's provisions as we grow as Christians. Then we'll see ultimate sanctification. And then the last three or four lessons all deal with lifestyle, about living worthy and offering our lives and our time and our possessions. And it ends with a challenge. So there's a lot of good stuff. And so over the weeks to come, we should have a lot of good information that can encourage us. So as we look at this first lesson, we want to talk about what in the world is sanctification? What do we mean by that? And we want to see how it sets apart. So let's start with, you should be at number one. Is that where we are with the meaning of saint and sanctification? So let's talk about the meaning of saint and sanctification. What does it mean? Because, by the way, sanctification sounds funny, and it's more of a theological term. like justification, sanctification, glorification. You know, people don't go around talking about sanctification, right? Do you hear people say the word sanctification a whole lot of times? We don't. And sometimes when we hear people talk about being a saint, we hear people say, oh, that person's a saint. They're just the sweetest thing. But the truth is we all are. So what does it mean? The term means to be set apart. That's what it means. And the idea of set apart, literally in the Bible, something that's set apart, it's actually holy. And we're going to talk about it in just a minute. So when you say something is a saint or something is sanctification, that idea, it means something is set apart. In Psalm 16:10, look what it says at Psalm 16. Look at verse 10. David is writing, and he's saying that God will not let him, let David knows that one day God will raise him from the dead, talking about David. But he also says God's going to raise the Messiah from the dead. And I want you to notice, he says in verse 10, for you will not abandon my soul, you'll not leave me in Sheol, nor will you allow your what? What is your Holy One, your set apart one to undergo the Holy One, the Holy One is Jesus Christ. So this tells us at the very beginning that the idea is referring to the Messiah, but it's something that's set apart, something that is holy. The Hebrew word is kadesh. You don't have to write that down, but it has an idea of something set apart. The Greek word is hagios. It's the word that is one of the first words I learned when I was trying to memorize Greek and everything, and it just means something set apart. And so if I came in and I said, look, we want to put all the notebooks, we're going to put them over here, we're setting them apart. So that you could say that's a sanctification that's being set apart. So when you think of the term, do that. Listen to this. I want to read it to you. And this is in Romans 1:7. Let me go back. In Romans 1:7, but also in 1 Corinthians. Listen to this. This is how Paul starts the letter to the Corinthians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is in Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. So Paul starts the letter to the Corinthians, and he says they have been sanctified. We'll talk about what that means. And he says they're called saints. And let me ask you a question. When you think of the Corinthian church, do you think of saints and holy believers? What do you think of? They were terrible. They did everything. Listen, you could everything. There were divisions in chapter 3. In chapter 5, there was a guy having sex with his stepmother. In chapter 6, they were doing the lawsuits and everything else. And then in chapter 7, they were trying to talk about how much sex you could have or how far you could go. And then they were talking about getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. And they were talking about then some people had already rejected the fact that there was a resurrection aspect. And then they had issue over tongues and spiritual gifts. The whole church was a mess. But how does Paul start off? Those who have been what? Sanctified saints by calling. So we just need to understand that even in the book of Romans, he says to all the saints who are in Rome, it means set apart ones. So as we start, if you top at the next page, it says, what things are set apart? So what things are set apart? So let's start with this. The first thing that's set apart is God. God is the ultimate set apart one. We could saw it this way. God is the Holy One. He is. He is set apart. Now, when you think about God being set apart, what does that mean? How does that work? In fact, in Ezekiel 37:7, it talks about God's holy name, because the name is the character, and he's set apart. And so as we think of this idea, realize there's a number of things set apart, but here God is one set apart. Now, he's set apart in two ways. I want you to think about this. One is his perfect righteousness. There is nobody else like him. Every other thing is fallen, is corrupt, is sinful, but God is set apart because he's the only perfect righteous one. That's why we call him the Holy God. That's why Jesus is called the Holy One or the Messiah or the Set Apart One. Do you remember when Jesus, it was toward the end and they were all arguing and fussing with him, and he basically said, can any of you claim whatever sin I've done? And no, nobody could say he ever sinned. They just didn't say a word, because Jesus was perfect and holy and righteous, even as a human being, never sins. So God himself never sins. He's perfect, righteous, but he's also separate from the creation. Now, sometimes people look at me, what do you mean by that? He's not part of the creation. He's the creator and he made the creation. He's not part of the creation. Just be careful, because I hear people say, you know, God is the wind in our, he's not the wind. No, he created the wind. If God is the wind, that's pantheism. That's God in everything. No, God is the creator, and he is separate from his creation. He is the almighty, all-perfect God, separate from his creation. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God did what? Created the heavens and the earth. He is the ultimate set-apart one. So when we think about God and his glory, and we say he is the Holy One. If you remember in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, how did Jesus say, when you pray, pray this one, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be you. What does hallowed mean? Huh? It means set apart. Exactly. It means holy is your name. Set apart is your name. So when Jesus taught him to pray, he said, this is how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be, holy be, set apart is your name. So that's who he is. And that's why the Bible says, sanctify Jesus Christ as Lord in our lives. Set him apart. So the first thing that we're going to find is that God is set apart. Okay? The second thing that you're going to find is set apart. Your things. Things that are holy. This may sound weird to you, but in the Old Testament, the garments, in fact, the Old Testament priest garments I've got right here. Number two should say things that are holy that are set apart. And the first one says the Old Testament priest garments. Do you know they were called holy? And they were special garments, and only certain people could wear them. And they were set apart for Aaron and his sons, and every other priest after that had certain garments that they could wear. Also, the vessels in the temple and the tabernacle. Do you remember the story of Daniel and the handwriting on the wall? How many people remember the story of Daniel and the handwriting on the wall? You remember the guy? His name was Belshazzar. And Belshazzar was making fun of God. And what did he do? Do you remember what he did? He took some of the holy vessels that God had set apart, that they had taken from the temple in Jerusalem. He brought them in, poured wine in them, and drank out of them and made fun, and that's when God appeared. I mean, those vessels were set apart by God for particular things. Did you know? Do you remember Aaron? Aaron had two sons named Nadab and Abihu. Anybody know what happened to them? They did. What happened to them? Why did they get burned up? No. They took fire that was supposed to be one place and took it to another place. And they got burned up just like that. Because, see, that fire, one fire was supposed to be one place, one fire was supposed to be another place. They weren't supposed to take it. Just like the holy vessel was the Ark of the Covenant, and what happened to the guy? He reached up and touched it. He died immediately. Listen, so those vessels in the temple, they were set apart. Look about this. The holy place and the holy of holies. Y'all know that in the temple and in the tabernacle, the thing was like this. There was a room. And the first place was called the holy place, and it had the lampstand over here, it had the table of showbread over here, it had the altar of incense right there, and then there was the Holy of Holies, which had the Ark of the Covenant. Those were set apart rooms. This was called holy place, set apart place, and the Holy of Holies. Now, some priests could go into this daily. Some would go in and make the lamps. Some went in once a week, put the bread there. Somebody went in every day and burned the incense. But only the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, the set apart of set aparts, and they could go once a year. So those were set apart. And so you think about it, the garments were set apart, the vessels were set apart, the Holy of Holies and the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And think about this, the Bible. Let me see what this Bible says. What does this Bible say? Holy Bible. What does that mean? I mean, really, Bible means what? Bible means book. So holy book, it means a set apart book. This is a set apart book. Now, we act like it's nothing. People say, I put my Bible on top of my car. Well, be careful. I mean, you know, you're talking about, this is the set-apart book that God gave us, right? And so, you know, you think about it, it's really amazing. So you've got God who's set apart. You've got things that are set apart. But guess, here's the third thing. People are set apart. We're set apart. Now, priests and those people were set apart, but we're talking about, we're set apart in Jesus Christ. That's who we are. We're set apart in him. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be where? In Christ was a new creation. Philippians 3:9, I've got it there for you. You don't have to, but it says, and being found in Christ. Where are you right now? You're in Christ. Listen, I want you to think about something for a second. Here's the cross. Here's Jesus Christ. This is what they call the body of Christ, which is what? What's it called? Body of Christ is called the what? The church. So this is Christ. When you trust in Jesus Christ, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're placed in Christ. Is that right? And that's you're set apart in Him. And every one of us in this room, we are in Christ. Now, we're going to see there's even more to it than that. In fact, as we continue on, there's just so many things there, but we're found in Christ. In fact, he says, in being found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. So when we trust Christ, we're set apart. So every, and by the way, where is Christ right now? Okay, where are you? You're at the right hand of God. You go, what? Yeah, that's where you are. That's your position. Your position is you're seated at the right hand of God because you're in Christ. He's at the right hand of God. You're seated in Christ. Listen to this. You know, people go, really? I never heard that. Yeah, sure you have. Well, I taught it before, but you should have heard it anyway. Listen to this. God was rich in mercy with his great love, which he loved us. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, he has made us alive and raised us up with him and seated us with Christ in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians chapter 2. Every one of us in this room have been raised up and seated in Christ. We're set apart in Christ. So think about who you are. You know, the old saying is that Christians go around, and I always tell you this, and people go around saying, I'm just an old what? Just an old sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're a new creation in Christ. You're in Jesus. You're seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. You're in Christ. You've been raised up and seated in heavenly places. You're to walk worthy of what? Who you are. You're not some old sinner that's just been saved by grace and we just limp through life like this. Now, you're a child of the King and you're sitting at the right end of the throne of the Father because you've been set apart in Christ. Think about that. Listen, we're the only ones so far that, you see, because God didn't set the Jews apart in him. Christ hadn't come yet. When a Jew believed, they're Jews and they're the part of the nation of Israel and descendants of Abraham, but only the church are set apart in Christ. Only the body of believers. So this is a pretty amazing. We're called saints. That's why I like Romans. Let me just read it real quickly. In Romans chapter 1, I already read Corinthians for you. Romans, we think, well, Romans were better than the Corinthians. And it says, And all the beloved of God in Rome called saints. Are you called saints? If Paul wrote a letter to us, he would say to Stillwater Bible, the saints at Stillwater Bible. That's who we are. That's pretty amazing when you think about it. We are the set apart ones in Christ. So let's think about are we going to live out who we are. And that's why in 1 Corinthians 1, 2, I already read it earlier where he says, having been sanctified, called saints, those kind of things. So in review, there are three things there, and I want you to see them. I want you to just think about it. It is that we are set apart in Christ. We are. You're set apart in Christ by faith. Every one of us in this room, you are sanctified. You are a saint. You are set apart in Christ. And that doesn't mean you just live on this earth sort of going around. That means you're seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are holy people. Most Christians, I don't think, see themselves as holy people. Do you? No, we think, well, I'm pretty much bad. We are bad. But who are we? In our connection with Jesus Christ. And guess what? We are to be holy. First Peter. He says, you shall be holy because I'm holy. Where are you? In Christ. Where's that? See the right hand throne of the Father. Is he holy? Is he the Holy One? What should we be? Holy people. I mean, it's a challenge. I mean, I'm a bad person. Y'all know that. I'm bad. But you are too. But what we're supposed to do is live out who we are, right? So we got to do that. So I want you to understand that when we see this so far, that our connection in Christ is actually, this is going to sound funny, but it's actually a two-way deal. Our connection in Christ, look at John 14:20, says, in that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. There's that connection with him, that connection with Jesus Christ. He's in us, we're in him. Now that, it doesn't really make sense, does it? He's in us, right? We all know he's in us, right? Let me ask you a question. Is the Holy Spirit in us? Is God the Father in us? Yes. Is Jesus Christ in us? Does it seem to get crowded? Because, I mean, they're all in there. But guess what? Where are you? You're in Christ. Well, how can he be in you and you be in him at the same time? I don't know, right? I mean, this is what this connection, this whole idea of being set apart is so amazing. Now, I've got one little thing I just want to remind you, and that's why I put down 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, because a lot of people are confused on that. It's Christ in us and us in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, 13, when we trust in Christ, we're placed in Christ. This is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, okay? And first, let me just read the verse for you, because I should have put that up on the screen for you. It says, for by one Spirit, Holy Spirit, we were all baptized in union into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, we're all made to drink of one Spirit. What's the body? Body of Christ, the church. So every one of us have been placed in Christ. Now, when we read this verse, when people say baptism of the Holy Spirit, what do a lot of people mean when they say baptism of the Holy Spirit? They all think in some charismatic idea that you speak in tongues and the Holy Spirit comes upon a person and they speak different languages or whatever, and you know, all this kind of stuff. Baptism of the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with that. That's a mistake. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is when you were placed in Christ. That's when you were placed in union with Jesus Christ. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see it, you know, Sunday morning we've been talking about all the gifts that God's given to us, and the one we're on right now is he's given us the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about some of that maybe Sunday or the Sunday after that. But anyway, that's pretty powerful. So we got it, right? We understand we're set apart. Now, there's something that a lot of times we don't grasp, just like when we use the word salvation. We say salvation. What does that mean? Being what?
Saved.
Okay. Being saved eternally? Have been saved? Are being saved? Will be saved? I mean, we know justification, sanctification, glorification, all of those. But you understand that sanctification is exactly in the same way. And I want you to see this. Listen, we have been set apart, right? That's our position. That's the past. I'm gonna put something up here. You've got it. But I want you to see this. This is what's amazing. When were you set apart? I couldn't hear you. Sorry. Huh? When you put your faith in Christ. That's called positional sanctification. Okay? You are being set apart. This present tense. That's called progressive sanctification. And you go, what do you mean I are being set apart? Well, we'll see it. And you will be set apart. That's future. That's called ultimate sanctification. So I want you to understand that when we think about our being set apart, we have been set apart. We will be set apart. We have been set apart, we are being set apart, and we will be set apart. And we're gonna hit that tonight. We're gonna get a little bit more of that next week, and then the whole rest of the study is gonna be seeing how all this goes out. But ultimately, most of our class is gonna be dealing with this one right here, because this is called the Christian life, and this is what we're trying to do. So we have been set apart. That's our position. We are being set apart. That's progressive, and we will be set apart. That's ultimate. That's a future aspect. So, a lot of stuff here. And sometimes people go, I've never heard this. I remember the first time I ever taught, well, not the first time I ever taught, but had a friend that was sitting in one of our SBI classes, and it's been like 18 years ago. And the first time he ever heard of the three-phase plan of salvation and the idea of justification, sanctification, glorification, or even positional, progressive, ultimate, he never heard those. And when he heard that night or when we taught it, he said it was the first time the Bible ever came together and made sense. And I hope as we go through this, it will. And so let's look at this tonight. Let's look at the three aspects of sanctification. Positional sanctification, that's number one. That's past tense. Okay, I'm going to give you a second to write that down because it'll go the rest of the way. So the aspect of saying positional sanctification is past tense. We have been sanctified. And then progressive sanctification is present tense. We are being sanctified. And then ultimate sanctification is the future. And we will be sanctified. So there's some powerful things there, and we'll see it as we go through it. And I'm going to give you some more information, and we'll put it together, and we'll get it. Now, I didn't even start off by saying this. Listen, you got questions, comments, input, stop me. Stop me and just say, what do you mean by that? Or let me, here's something I always heard. How does that fit? So listen, I know in a bigger group like this, it's hard for people to want to raise their hand or ask a question or something, but be sure and do that. If you, any question, comment, or anything, just stop me and we'll definitely want to talk about it. I want to make sure that we get all this. So we have been what? Set apart. We are being set apart. And we will be set apart. And that's called our position, our progress, and our ultimate, or that. Okay, so let's talk about it. Let's talk about these areas, and let's start with positional sanctification. And positional sanctification is a past event. Every one of us in this room, the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you were set apart, so to speak. 1 Corinthians 12:13, and by the way, I went ahead and put it right there. By one Spirit, we were baptized. We were, past tense, baptized into one body. We were. We were placed in Christ. We were set apart in Christ. We were placed in union in Christ. And so we have been sanctified. That's a powerful, powerful truth. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, he just says that God is our sanctification, meaning that he sets us apart. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, he says we were sanctified in Christ the moment we believed. So we are sanctified the moment we believe. So it's some great truths there, and that's present tense. Now, one of my favorite verses is Ephesians 2:8-9. Can anybody quote it for me? For by what? Grace. You what? You have been saved. Some translations actually read, for by grace you are saved through faith. That's an improper translation. It actually says, for by grace you what? Have been saved. It's called the perfect tense in Greek, which means a past tense with a continuing result. So in the past, you have been what? Saved. That means you what? It continues on forever. So just don't forget that. So we have been in the past sanctified, set apart, saved in that sense. Okay? Got it? So that's our what we call our positional sanctification. So, everybody in this room, have you been saved? Have you been set apart? Where are you? In Christ. And where are you? At the right hand of the throne of the Father. And so, you're to walk worthy of your calling. Because now we move from past tense sanctification to present sanctification. And so, this is called progressive sanctification. Yeah, yes?
You say, by grace you have been saved. By saved, you're talking about we were rescued and we continue to be rescued? Or are you talking about you?
Okay, say that again.
By grace, you have been saved.
Yeah.
And it continues forever.
The salvation continues forever, not the rescue. Okay. I mean, you know what I'm saying? By grace, you have been saved. We would, if we're using the sanctification idea, we're saying, for by grace, you have been sanctified, placed in Christ, and that's forever.
Okay. I guess I see the sanctification part, but the saved, I feel like it was at that time, and from then on, you're saved.
Exactly. That's exactly what it's saying.
All right.
Yeah. The idea is that it continues on forever, meaning what happened the moment you trusted Christ, you're saved, that continues on forever. Your salvation continues on forever. Does that make sense?
That's eternal life salvation.
Yeah, that's eternal life salvation. Listen, justification and positional sanctification are the same thing. Justification talks about how God declares you right and your eternal life salvation. But sanctification is at that point, at that exact moment, you were set apart in Christ. And so positional sanctification, justification, and eternal life salvation are all exactly the same thing. They just different nuances of what happened the moment you believe. Does that make sense, or do I need to go over that again? Does that make sense? Yes?
Yes.
Okay, because you got to grasp that. Listen, when you put your faith in Christ, he gives you what? Eternal life. So you're saved and saved forever, okay? When you put your faith in Christ, he says you have been justified. You're declared righteous. That happens in the past. When you put your faith in Christ, he takes you and sets you apart in Christ. That's positional sanctification. That's all. All of those are past tense. You have been saved. You have been justified. You have been sanctified. That's all past tense. So every one of us in this room, we could say, I have been given eternal life. I have been given justification. I have been set apart in Christ forever. Does that make sense? And so they all go together. But sanctification, we're doing this study. I mean, we could say, let's study salvation, and we could say past salvation, present salvation, future salvation. That's actually positional sanctification, possessive sanctification, and ultimate sanctification. I mean, it all fits together. So there's a lot there. Does that make sense? More questions, comments, input? Anything? Okay, so now we're at progressive. This is Christian life. A lot of people don't understand that. Because when we say that you have been saved and you are being saved, people say, how can I be being saved? Because we're talking about Christian life now. And so we're talking about progressive sanctification. God progressively, as you live, experientially, you're being set apart. Listen, do you think that you're more, I'm just going to sound kind of weird. Are you more holy, righteous, godly living now than you were 10 years ago?
Definitely.
Are you? Huh?
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. For some of us, no. But most of us, what? Yeah, because we are slowly, but we're slowly being set apart in Christ. We are slowly being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. And so we'd call that the Christian life. We'd call that growth. We'd say, my goal is to become more and more like Christ. And we'd say, well, then you're going to be progressively sanctified or experientially set apart, because you're going to be set apart to be more and more like Christ. That's why Romans 8:29 says we're being conformed, and it should say, that should say too, that Old Testament, I don't know why that's on there, but it says should be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. So that Old Testament part, just I don't know what that's on that slide for. It should say being conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. When you trusted Christ, how much like Christ were you? When you put your faith in Christ, how much like Christ were you?
Not at all.
No, hardly any, right? I mean, we'd say, yeah, no, I'm pretty bad. Okay, now, let's say you've been a Christian for 20 years. How much more like Christ are you now than you were then? You're growing. You're growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You're being conformed to the image of Christ. So this is called progressive sanctification. So you are being what? Set apart. Set apart to be more and more like Christ. Look at this verse right here. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. How do we see the glory of the Lord? Where do we see it? Where do we see it? In the scripture, right? Listen, how do you know anything about Jesus? Let me ask you a question. How do you know Jesus fed 5,000 people? Because you read it. You weren't there. You didn't see it. You hadn't seen him. When we talk about the glory of the Lord, it comes through where? The Word of God, the Word of God. So it says, because in the passage of 2 Corinthians, they're talking about the Bible, and he says, but we with unveiled faces, as we study the Bible, beholding as in a mirror the glory, we see the Lord. We are being what? Transformed. We're being sanctified into the same image from glory to glory. We're becoming more and more like Christ. That's the whole plan, right? I mean, shouldn't we every day, every week, every month, every year? Shouldn't we be more and more like Christ? That's what we're supposed to be. Now, I mean, I know it's this way. Listen, I mean, there's no doubt about this. You trust Christ, you're right here. And man, you get on fire. You go, man, I trust Christ. I got eternal life. Woo! I'm rolling, baby. I'm going. I'm learning. I've never seen this stuff before. And everything is new and it's so exciting. And then it gets like this. And then you go like this. And then it gets, and then, yeah. And you know, the ending. And so this is the Christian life. As time goes by, you're more and more becoming like Christ. But it's not like this. I mean, it is a battle. You're living in a fallen world. We're going to talk about it. As we get in some of these other lessons, we're going to talk about the Christian life. We're going to talk about the battle. We're going to talk about how do you have victory in the Christian life? You know, we all say, what are you supposed to do when you sin? Confess it. But you know, Paul in Romans 6 doesn't say anything about confessing sin. You know what he tells you to do? Stop sinning. He says, quit sinning. He said, you don't need to be confessing sin. You need to not sin. And you say, well, I ain't there yet. Right? Okay? So there's just a whole bunch of things. We're going to see them as we go through it. Think about that. We're being transformed into the image. The image of who? Of Jesus Christ. Wow. This is amazing to me. Listen to this. I want to read this to you. 1 Corinthians. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who perish, but to those of us who are being saved, that's being what? Sanctified, it is the power of God. We are being sanctified. We are being saved. We are being transformed. We are being experientially more and more like Christ. Yes. That's 1 Corinthians 1:18. And it's really using the word salvation there, but I'm trying to show you that there's a process that we are being saved, that we're being sanctified, that we are growing, that we're being changed to the image of our Savior Jesus Christ. The old thing, I said, I'm not where I'm supposed to be, but I'm glad I'm not like I used to be, right? And there are things in our lives that we would never want, even right now, every one of us, wherever we are in our Christian lives, we would never want somebody or God to come up and say, I want you to write the things you think and the things you do wrong right up here on this board. We don't want anybody to know that about us. But what we want people to see is that we're growing, that we're trying to take the truths of the Bible and make application in our lives and to become conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and be transformed, progressively sanctified into the image from glory to glory. That's what we want. That's what we're trying for, and that's the plan. Okay. Questions, comments, anything? So there's a past tense aspect of sanctification. It's called positional sanctification, and we've been set apart in Christ. That's the same thing as having been saved or having been sanctified. There's a Christian life aspect of sanctification in which every day we're supposed to be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. That's the plan. And then there's a third one, and that's called ultimate sanctification, and that is future, and that's when we stand before our Savior. I think what's the most amazing thing is this, is that when we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, and we say, I trust Christ, and there we are, in our position, we are holy. In our experience, what are we?
Sinners.
Sinners and not so holy. Okay, now, that's at the moment of salvation, that's positional sanctification. Now, this is the Christian life. And sometimes we say, well, that's just sanctification. It is. But we are being set apart. And so as we go this Christian life, we're being conformed to the image of Jesus. We're growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Will we ever get there? In this life? I don't know. I don't think so. Okay? But one of these days, what's going to happen? Jesus Christ is coming. Either you're going to die, or he's going to come in the clouds, and we're going to be taken up to be with him, and we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and this mortal body will put on immortality, and we will be made, and we will ultimately be sanctified. We'll be set apart, and this position and this experience will be the same. And we will be holy people. Not only in our position, but in our experience, because ultimately we will be with Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, when he comes and gets us, we will be like him. Amazing. Amazing truth. So with that in mind, let me give you, and we're through, so I mean this first lesson goes pretty fast. I just want you to put these things together so we may get out early. I wanted to show you something. Let me read something to you from 1 Peter. Hold on. Listen to this. We are obtaining an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, will not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for us who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation to be revealed in the last time. That's what we might call ultimate salvation. We might call that glorification. We call it ultimate sanctification. So we have been set apart. We are being set apart. We will be set apart. This is sanctification. And this ties in with justification. This ties in with regular sanctification. This ties in with glorification. Do what? Question? Comment?
I said that's a lot of
cations. Huh?
That's a lot of cations.
A lot of cations. Yeah, yeah, there are. There's justification, sanctification, glorification. Constipation. I mean, there's all kind of them. They're everywhere. Huh? 1 Peter 1, I think 4 and 5. Let me look. Yeah, 4 and 5. So let me give you this as we, at the top of the last page. In the past, we trusted Jesus Christ. We are set apart in Christ. We have eternal life. There is salvation. We have been saved, and we have been what? We have been what? Sanctified. This is called what? Positional sanctification. Okay? That's in the past. Positional sanctification. And write down under that, just write down positional sanctification. Now, in a couple of weeks, let me just take this out for a second. Next week, we're going to look at the three-phase plan. And then lesson three is actually we're going to go in and deal with positional sanctification. What exactly it is, how does it happen, when does it happen, all those kind of things. So that's the past. Then the present. In the present, that we are being set apart like Christ. That's experiential or progressive sanctification. That's our Christian life. That's our Christian life salvation, that we are being saved. We are being sanctified. And so if you want to, write at the bottom, just write down, are being sanctified. And we're going to spend a lot of time looking at this because this is the Christian life. And the goal of our lesson is that we would see the Christian life, we would understand it, and we would be conformed to the image of Christ. Let me just remind you of something. Lesson three is positional, and then after that we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lessons dealing with the Christian life progressives. Then we're going to look at ultimate. Then we're going to come back and go back to lifestyle, which is Christian life again, is going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we've got 8 or 9 of the lessons are going to deal with Christian life sanctification. Because that's where we are. We know that we are right here, and one day we'll be right there. We got this, but this is where we are daily, in and out. We want to be like Christ, and that's the key. And so, present tense wise, we are being set apart like Christ. We are being sanctified. This is our Christian life salvation. We are being saved. Powerful. And then future. Ultimate sanctification. Ultimately, we'll be set apart in Christ. Will be like him. We call that eternal state salvation. We call that glorification. And we will be sanctified. So right underneath that, under we will be saved, right? We will be sanctified. Now, what is amazing is all of this is because of our union in Jesus Christ, because we connected with Him. I want to show you something. Here's Jesus, and He died on the cross, and we put our faith in Christ. And the moment we put our faith in Christ, we're placed in Him. And where are we? Seated at the right hand. Then we go through life, but we're in Christ, which is called the body of Christ, which is the church. And His goal is to sanctify the church. If you remember in Ephesians, and it talks about the bride of Christ, and it talks about that He sets the bride apart, sanctification and holiness. That's what He's doing for us. This is the Christian life because we're in Christ. And then when He comes to get us, or when we die, we're going to be in Christ again. But this is ultimate sanctification. Positional, progressive. Sometimes we could call this experiential because this is our experience. This is our position. This is our experience. And in one day, our position and experience will line up ultimately. Now, there are a lot of times when you wish it lined it up right now, right? Because there are things we do and we say, I can't believe I did that. And just like Romans chapter 7, Paul says, the things I want to do, I what? I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. I'm a wretched man that I am. He said, I look inside of me, and I find that in me, my flesh dwells no good thing, and I find in me a principle that inside of me there is evil. You understand there's evil inside of us, right? We're evil people. We're also created in Christ Jesus for good works. And we're to live out who we are. We're to walk worthy of our calling. All of this because of our union in Christ. We've been placed in Him positionally. We're growing in Him progressively. We're going to be made like Him ultimately. Now, everybody, if you got a chance, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 just for a second. Chapter 1. And I want you to memorize a verse. Because if I don't know if I have, I don't have it on the sheet, do you? No, I don't. Well, the verse to memorize is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. And the reason I want you to memorize is because it deals with who we are. Look what it says. To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified. If we stop right there, what are we talking about? What's that called? What's that called? Positional, that's positional sanctification, okay? We have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. That could be present tense because you call saints now. That would be what? Progressive. And then with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. I want you to memorize it because it gives us that we have been sanctified and we're called saints. So we'll have a quiz and that'll be one of the questions to say, write out, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. Let me give you, let me remind you that sanctification means what? What does it mean?
Set apart.
And by faith in Jesus Christ, we're set apart in Him. He's holy, we're to be what?
Holy.
We're set apart from all eternity. We're growing to be like Christ, and one day we'll be together. So this is sanctification. So let me give you some applications, then we'll go over the quiz. But any questions or anything you got, just stop me. But let's talk about application. Let's understand what sanctification means. What does it mean? It means holy and set apart. And think about this. Tell me some things that are set apart.
God.
Okay, God Himself is the perfect set apart one because He's the holy one. What else set apart? The Bible was set apart because it's a holy book. People are set apart because we're called saints. We're set apart in Christ Jesus. So let's understand what sanctification actually means. Now, I hope I didn't confuse you when we talked about justification, sanctification, glorification, or that kind of thing. Because I just want you in this class to think more about the term sanctification being set apart in position, set apart in progression, so to speak, and set apart ultimately. So I just want you to think about that. The second application is, let's realize how we are set apart. We are set apart in three ways. What is it? What are the three ways? Okay, so past tense, that's called positional sanctification. Present tense is called progressive, or you can even say experiential. I'm okay with that. And then what's the third one called? Future is called? Okay, ultimate. That's how we're set apart. You have been set apart. You are being set apart. You will be set apart. And then the third one is, let's live as set apart men and women. Now, I have to say this, that it's easier said than done, right? Because that's who we are. We're set apart men and women. We're set apart in Jesus Christ. We're not the sinner saved by grace who just limps through life and is wretched, but we're raised up and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're being conformed to the image of Christ. We're to walk worthy of the calling which we've been called. We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have been sanctified. We are saints by calling. That's who you are. And from this day forward, that's what we need to think of ourselves.